Gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their need? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Tracy McCray.
Change.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. We're back for a couple days here. And let me just make an adjustment here. I hope all of you are okay out there and getting along with life and still breathing and didn't get smoked by yesterday's ballistic missile. But anyway, all jokes aside, very interesting. It's nice to be back here with you again and see all your friendly faces and all. And I didn't know that so many people could scamper down holes so much. But it's good that we survived this one. But a little reality here is that, and all joking aside, ladies and gentlemen, you deserve better government. And we've spoken about better government many occasions on this show, and that's what the whole theme is behind my efforts. And what I hope to do is to educate you and provide you with an opportunity or information that you could use in, when you pull that curtain behind your back to put your little marks in the box. If you want to call in, 888-5204, and give you a chance to express yourselves, because on this matter or any other matter, but this false alarm, when reality it wasn't, there's nothing false about it. It is a reality that we got the dumbest people running government that you could possibly hire or do whatever. It's not a false alarm. The alarms went off to say something of this nature, of this greatest of impacts on human lives and everything else. And all they could say is someone pushed the wrong button. Ironically, that's what us liberals, or we liberals, have been finding great laughter and great entertainment in the President Trump's use of he got a big button and his button is bigger than Kim Jong-un. So anyway, just create a backdrop here. You see Tulsi Gabbard out there and she's talking. She was the first to show up on national TV and to talk about this thing. And that's a really admirable of her. And I think right on. But it's many of the things that she says that our leaders, and I'm paraphrasing her, our leaders need to do better. And I was trying to figure out to which community is she talking about. She's military, active military. She's a congresswoman. She's been a city council person. And she's now still serving in Congress. And she's saying our leaders. So isn't it really nice to be able to extract yourself and run and just sit there and talk nonsense? Where was Tulsi Gabbard in the development of this critical alarm system? And I'm just going to tell you, I know many of you, she's the sparkling child, and many of you think that some fairy dust settled on and she spontaneously evolved, and so now she's your great leader. She went on to say on national TV, and I'm not quoting her completely, but to paraphrase, and some of these, this is one. She says, well, Mr. Trump needs to go and sit down and talk about peace and work this out, which I wholly agree with. But she uses an example to say that, well, you know, look at Gaddafi. We talked to him and we negotiated with him and he gave up his weapons and we toppled him. See, when my leaders talk in that fashion, they didn't topple Muammar Gaddafi. They blew him to smithereens. They killed him. He was killed. He died. That's not toppling. I don't know what his condition was physically when it was all done, but this is a congresswoman. She gets right up to the line, and she wants to be truthful and open about everything and build a better government and better leadership. And while she's attempting to criticize those and call them our leaders, but she's part of that pack that's not our leaders. What a luxury. And so if yesterday came as a shock to many of you, then I would say it was deserving. It's about time that you get shocked in the reality that you have full control over who you put in office. You have full control over accountability, but you don't hold them accountable. Now, this is the ultimate. This, you can't ask for a better scenario or situation or anything that says to you, it's time now that I stand up and demand. Because when you got to sit in a room or out raking your leaves and all of a sudden you get a notice that this is not a drill. A ballistic missile has been launched. Not a drill. And you throw your rake down. What do you do? What did many of you do? Run in and hug the family? Or what did you do to prepare? Your wife just went to the store or take the daughter to gymnastics or whatever. It's scattered. What do you do? And then the election is going to be coming up quite soon for the state of Hawaii and for many offices. Will you remember any of this? Or will you remember that, what happened was that the person responsible for this pushed the wrong button. And then, you know, there's this other concern, and quite extensive comments I have, and I will be talking about it for a while. And again, I invite you to call in 808-888-5204. Get it off your chest. Let us know what you think, what you feel. Where were you? How was it treated? Were you shocked? Did you learn anything from it? So, now, there's also, you watch the national media, which you see Brian Schatz and Tulsi, they were hurriedly got there. And then there's Colleen Hanabusa got there. And let me just say, even the media, you know, sometimes when you get in that mob mentality, I'm a liberal thinking person, and I will, for the sake of conversation, to describe me so we don't have to go and call in scientists and evaluate my psychology or my psychiatric status, I'm just going to tell you that I draw from the liberal pool. But what I've been witnessing today and yesterday is that liberals can be just as mob mentality, mob influence, like we accuse the skinheads or the Ku Klux Klan. And that is, where's Donald Trump in this situation? Why hasn't he made some comment? Well, first of all, it may be Mr. Trump's responsibility to some purpose or somewhere that's. But let me just say to you liberals out there who sitting and listening to this nonsense. First of all, why would the President of the United States make any statements when the governor of the state of Hawaii stood there and go, well, I don't know. I was asleep. I woke up to the same call you got. And a guy pushed a button. But we're investigating it. We're going to. So why would we as liberals demand that Donald Trump say something about it? Would you? If the people that appointed people and hired people and close and they have an obligation to inform this, would you, as Donald Trump, pick up the phone and intervene or say anything? What is there to say when the governor of the state of Hawaii, when the guy standing there, the director, Miyagi, and the military person, the state attorney, state adjutant general, whatever it is, I can't think, Hara, if they don't know and they can't give you good answers, if Colleen Hanabusa don't know and Tulsi Gabbard didn't know and Brian Schatz didn't know and Mazie Hirono didn't know, why would you liberals want to go out and then throw rocks and say, wake up, Donald Trump, you've not said one word about this? Well, sometimes we get in this mode that Donald Trump is so dumb, we say. well, maybe this is a brilliant moment, and maybe we need to turn around and look to see who's really the dummy. None of you, David Ige should have received a message that we can't impeach in the state of Hawaii. But we should have given him a notice, say, well, here, just we'll pay you in advance and leave. Just leave the office. We got too many things that are broken that always, well, we're looking at it. We're fixing it. We're going to, and we'll, it costs millions. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Yeah, Carol, I'm glad you're bringing up Tulsi Gabbard. She was so quick to run out there and criticize her fellow leaders of the country. So I actually wrote a letter to her asking her what has she done. She's been in government service for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took it upon myself to write to the Congresswoman and basically just ask her with today's emergency alert to Hawaii residents that there was a ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek shelter immediately. This is not a drill. And her 15 years in Congress, well, not just Congress, but the city, she was in the House of Representatives in the state of Hawaii. I asked her to provide her public documents on the work she's done to promote adequate fallout bomb shelters and escape route plans in the event of a Hawaii missile attack. It's just really been, I don't know why the news would pick up and really, I don't even know the word I want to use because it's so sickening right now. She's been in government 15 years. And then mm-hmm. she wants to turn around and say to the other guys, well, you guys have failed us. But yet no one is asking her the question, Tulsi, you failed us. You have all this year's experience. So I ask, you know, what are your plans for the Hawaii residents and tourists in the event of a Hawaii missile attack to provide adequate fallout bomb shelters to the public? Please provide all copies and records of your plans and documents. The second question I ask her, what escape route plans have you put in place for residents and tourists in the event of a Hawaii missile attack? And the same thing, please provide all records mm-hmm. of your plan and your documents. I'm sure she's not going to respond, and I bet some people will say, well, Tina, or, you know, it's not a fallout shelter. It's not a bomb fallout shelter. Well, it, to me, a nuclear bomb, a ballistic missile, what is her plan to put people out of harm's way?
Okay. Well, she's getting a lot of airtime, and I dread just thinking about the fact that here it is. We don't know. Maybe we do know why the alarm went off, and we're not being told. But the FCC is doing an investigation, right?
Yeah, and that's really important because they made a statement yesterday down at the Hawaii Emergency Management that no, they weren't hacked. Well, how do they know that? Because they went from calling it a button to saying it was a click on a screen, and that might change again tomorrow how they're going to explain it. But mm-hmm. how can you rule out everything when you don't even know what happened?
Mm-hmm. But that's been the standard MO for the state of Hawaii's operations and its management, period, in the state or the city. And I noticed it took them, what, they're saying 38 minutes for any reasonable response?
And in the meantime, people on the East Coast are panicking that have loved ones. Not everybody got these alerts, so they're, you know, for instance, here on the East Coast, my daughter calls her dad back in Honolulu. So the fear, it didn't only affect Hawaii. This was a national disaster of a missed mm-hmm. button.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, thank you. Call back if you have anything else.
Yeah, I right. just wanted to really say that I believe Tulsi's really professional at certain issues, and I think this is another issue that the news is really letting her skirt instead of asking questions about accountability. Where is she in this equation? And she's, you know, quick to criticize other leaders, and I think you had mentioned, and we talked about, when did she inspect the Hawaii Emergency Management System? So thank you for giving me some airtime.
You're welcome. Thank you. Well, now, this is not an assault on anybody, and if it's offensive, then I'd say, well, we'll just hopefully we don't have to experience this again, and you'll be offended by what I say, or it may not fit well because you're a Democrat or you're part of the party and what have you. So, you know, when these major missteps occur, I think the most honest person who care or gives a rat's butt about public safety, the welfare, well-being, and all of that, you have to at some point tell the truth. And pointing fingers I go back to saying that this thing about Donald Trump, where is he? He's at Mar-a-Lago, and he's down there, and he hadn't said a word. Well, Donald Trump is behaving in a way that I probably would behave too. If the people that is immediately affected don't know or didn't know, then why in hell would I even put my, I could call up and say, well, or tweet and say, well, I hope everything's fine. We're lucky that didn't, and it was just a mistake. Imagine the fallout he'd get from that. So we're in this mob mentality, and Donald Trump is just, his behavior is unacceptable in many ways, and in my opinion. But in this one, don't go across the ocean, the deep blue sea, to try to shirk your responsibility, and when it's squarely in your lap, squarely. The civil defense, if Miyagi and Hara and the others, if this is something as sensitive as this can be so recklessly or haphazardly laying around that somebody yawning and scratching his head and stretching from a long night's work and then pushed the wrong button, whatever the reason is, who would have allowed that system to be designed? Who would allow that system to be relied on? But historically, this whole thing, even the sirens, and we'll talk about them, the sirens and light bars and all of that kind of stuff that is used in the radios and for emergency has had a taint of favoritism and getting people to give, giving contracts to friends and what have you to provide that when professional companies could have done it a lot cheaper and a lot better with quality. So I could never get people to come forward to talk openly about it. But the EMS is basically, it's not an emergency management system. It's a response system. And that's not to say you take the firemen, you take the policemen. They're going to do their job. You take the lifeguards. They're not going to sit there on the beach, but emergency management services. They got the bunker and Diamond Head and then all, they squared away. But if you got dumb things occurring, why do you need any shelter? Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
I just want to throw my 2 cents in.
Go ahead.
Not knowing the inner workings of the civil defense procedure that goes on in Diamond Head, my idea is that we have a warning system set up whereby it is not initiated unless the state civil defense gets an alert by Pacific Command, military command, that they have detected a missile on its way. They must inform civil defense, Diamond Head, to set alert that we have our radar indicates there's a missile incoming.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, this authorizes Miyagi and his cohorts to push the button to alert the citizens to take cover and warn them. Now, that statement that was sent out over the cell phones. I don't know if that is computer-generated, like there's a missile incoming, this is not a drill. I'm not sure if that is part of the button system, is this computer-generated, or someone types it in. Same way was when the notice came out that this was a drill. Or did someone have to type that in and then send that out to the cell phone system and wherever?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the inner workings are, but mm-hmm. the fact is that they pushed the wrong button. Yeah, anybody can push the wrong button, but then you realize you pushed the wrong button, and you immediately, 10 seconds later, inform the authorities if this is automated, all this information goes out to the computer, there's an incoming missile, take appropriate messages. Someone could immediately send out another message. This was an error, mm-hmm. 1 minute later, ignore the warning. This was a drill. And so I don't know what's going on, that why it took 35 minutes by time. If it was a real missile, everybody in Honolulu would be in ashes if that was the target. But I don't know. Something doesn't set right with me as to the channels, as far as the connection between Pacific Command, who has the ability to detect missiles and even fire anti-missiles from Kauai to intercept. I don't know if any moves were made. Who notified who first? Was it the state, the city that said there's an incoming missile, which should have been immediately denied by Pacific headquarters to correct the situation?
Mm-hmm.
So there's something fell in the commission, in the scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it all falls on Miyagi. If he's taking full responsibility, then I think he should take responsibility and resign.
Immediately.
Now, if he was in Japan, he'd probably commit harikari. But I'm not just joking, but it all falls on the people there at Diamond Head who screwed up.
And at Washington Place, and at the state capitol, and at the Congress, and the halls of the United States Congress, the Schatz, and the Gabberts, and the Maisie Hironos, and the Colleen Hanabusa. Look, they got lots of money for this. And installing this, and many millions have been spent in the preparation, and this is what it hinges on. It's on this little, and then all we see now is them. What are they doing? Are they? Let me ask you: when you see Tulsi Gabbard, and you see Schatz and Hanabusa and Hirano, and the governor and the mayor, I think he may have. There was no money in it for him, so he didn't show up for a while. But we won't hold that against him. We he's a businessman, but for the real people that are concerned managing people's issues, and have they eased your mind or made you feel that they're on top of this and it's going to get fixed? Or are you? How do you perceive this? How do you see these people that are named?
When you mention the word Hirono Schatz, Hanabusa, not so much Gabbard, it makes me turn in my sleep. Anything they say is strictly to get votes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting the blame on anything. It's
you back off
your... Nobody should be blamed except Miyagi and the way the system. It should be a fail-safe safe system.
Turn your radio down just a little bit, or just move away from it a bit. You there?
Yep.
Okay. I'm getting a terrible echo now from the your radio. Okay.
Yeah, so anything they say is after the fact to mm-hmm. get votes, and the people will vote for them, so...
they'll still vote for them.
I'm wasting my time, and you're kind of wasting your time mentioning about the voters think about it.
Thanks so much.
The voters are going to vote the same way because you take in the case of Douglas Doug Chin. He's hired someone to run his political campaign who has been, I would say, embezzling funds from Mark Dekai's campaign war chest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why when a person does not run anymore or dies, that fund is refunded to the donors or it is put into a fund to help aid in the voting system
mm-hmm.
If the donors don't want the money. Same way with when someone like Gabbard's father jumps from one party or another, if I gave him money to run as a Republican and then they change party, which continually goes on, all that money that was donated for this particular person should be returned to the donors. Or if I donated $50 to any of these people, I want my money back if they
right.
change party. I haven't seen any evidence that anyone has asked for their money back. So these politicians feel confident that the voters are so naive and stupid that they can do anything they want once they get in. And so... Anyway,
okay. Well,
that's
thank
my
you.
Thing. My main thing is that I wasn't concerned about a missile. Of course, not. They didn't say where it was coming from. Now, if it's coming, as far as I know, North Korea has not developed the capability to put a nuclear warhead on a missile. So I wasn't concerned. Now, if there was a nuclear submarine. Enemy submarine, like from Russia or a rogue country, and they fire the middle, it'd be a missile from the ocean 30 miles out or 40, 50 miles. It'd be a matter of seconds before you wouldn't have time to set up a warning. So I don't know. I've been looking at this. I'm a retired military, and I was involved with being a nuclear defense officer in a base, and that's back in the 70s, 80s now with the new weapons, megatons, blast zones. Or you don't have to hit the target directly. The blast zones
right.
cover much larger areas, and Honolulu Pearl Harbor would have been wiped out, and forget about tourists. This guy from the Tourist Bureau says, don't worry, tourists. You come in Hawaii, we're the most safe tourist destination in the world. You know, although we got murders daily, tourists being assaulted, raped, purse snatched, and so on. So what comes out of the government, you have to take with a grain
right.
of salt.
Right.
And after this, I'm getting ready, maybe in a couple hours, I'm going to the driving range and practice my golf swing.
Well, I hit them straight and long.
Thank
so.
You very much.
Thank you. Aloha.
So much time. And,
anytime.
I'll let you go on from there.
All righty. Aloha. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Yeah, Carol, you know, especially the debacle with the alert and whatnot, impacted services for bus and handyvan. You know, I have a case for both entities. I had a few calls come into my phone talking about asking questions, and I said, well, where are you? I'm on the handy van. They don't know what to do. They're waiting for dispatch to see where they can go to the nearest shelter or, you know, the cover or whatever. And I thought all this was in place, you know, the city and the Oahu Transit, what to do when there's natural disasters
mm-hmm.
or anything like this can occur. But I guess I gotta go call, talk to them again, see what happened that day.
Yeah, they were passengers aboard the van.
Riding around, one passenger told me that the driver didn't want to say anything until somebody had their phone alert and they were talking about it. And
mm-hmm.
People panicking and, you know, crazy nuts are driving 100 miles an hour on the highways.
Mm-hmm.
Could have caused a big accident, you know, with everybody panicking and whatnot.
Should we be forgiving these people? I mean, we've had enough already, in my opinion, but I don't want to taint, but ask you a question and set you up for it. And
yeah,
what do you think? I mean, is it time to just ask for mass resignation and clear the top?
Yeah, it's time we clear the top because, you know, when Iggy ran for against the election, his first term, you know, you brought him on your show, too, and he said he's going to be different.
Oh, yeah, he said he was going to be different.
Very different.
Different in that he'll do the same thing, but you won't be able to reach him at all.
Oh, no, his email, you never can get hit.
No, you're talking about the Iceman. David Ige is the Iceman. He's cool, calm, and collected. You notice he never sweats. But because he doesn't exercise, if there's somebody favorable to him, but his people also, that he surrounded himself with, former newscasters and all of that, by design, he extracted himself from the public community, and he has no obligation to speak to us, and there's more crises in his... Give you an example. Just recently, now he chose Suzanne Case based on the bitching and moaning that took place with the conservation community who said the other Chang shouldn't be hired because he's this and that, and then he puts in Suzanne Case, right? Now, just recently, last week, at Kaanapali, Maui, there was a discussion and a concern and the complaints filed, and it was aired on TV that Kaanapali business people were putting out chairs and bleachers and umbrellas and cabanas and things of that nature along that line illegally. So the state, the people that David Ige is responsible for hiring, he's allowed this DLNR to become, if you think you've gone back to Alabama, the main leaders are white, right? Local people can't seem to do the right job, so he's hired the law enforcement person is a white male, the chief is white female, and then the public relations person is a white male, and then you understand, and then she passed over the people there in DLNR Aquatics Division, took a white male, passed over 30 year experience. Person ignored him, just told him even though he qualified more than the person at the heart. This is what David Ige has presented to us. And then, so at Maui, the law enforcement people under this new guy, William Farrell, who was hired, they took Tommy Friel out, right? Farrell's subordinate goes there to the beach, to the business, and tell them and issues them a cease and desist order because they were illegally operating, something to that effect, right? And just shortly thereafter, it was revealed, and they did a retraction on KGMB, or Hawaii News Now, to say that DLNR had issued a cease and desist and was rescinding it because the law, there was no law that prohibited the activity that these people were accused of doing. Now, that's major now. You impact a business. You slander. You destroy the image of a person, a company, by going in and issuing a cease and desist and then going to TV and show on TV where you're issuing the order. You follow?
Right.
I'm sorry. This calls for mass cleanup from the top down, period. But unfortunately, we can't, you know, the impeachment is not to be considered. But there should be. We should just give him his walking papers and give him salary in lieu of service. Because, I you know, it's scary. We cannot afford to have this kind of behavior.
Right.
But
no accountability at all.
Yeah. Nothing.
Oh, by the way, I attended that rape commission that I talked about the other week.
Right.
On Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the Mission Memorial Building, Red Brick Building by Honolulu. It was 9 a.m. sharp, and they had the quorum for the commissioners for the rape commission. Presentation was about the handy van and later by the bus, but I did testify. I made a mistake here by testifying before the online agenda was, you know, the first agenda of the presentation,
mm-hmm.
that afterwards, but this was my first time going there, and they took names for testifiers, and we testified before. We had 12 consumers that rode handy van, and we testified, and I testified what I do for how many years. I'm a rider from 2000. I advocate for bus and handy van with my group, and then I told them about the trapeze software for scheduling. Doesn't work. I'm still getting backtracking, being on the van for many hours. Title, I believe it's Title 2 of the ADA. That's uncalled for. And then I told them about subscription rides where people can book it for the whole week. They don't have to call 3 days in advance because they go to the same place, same time, every day. So they get subscription rides. And I said that impacts the services for the early morning, 6 to 8 in the morning, and then probably 3 to 6 in the afternoon to evening. Because you have these people on programs that go home or go to their programs in the morning and late afternoon home.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't get the time slots we want because it's all taken, you know, for those times. So it impacts the services, I said. And then I told them that, you know, I belong to other committees with the city, Committee for Accessible Transportation for DTS. And we have different agencies like Catholic Charities, Donna Kayla, Jesus Seal, a whole opponent for the blind, and me as an at-large person on the board to be a consumer. One person now out of just all these agencies. So I told them what we do, we meet, well, we only had one meeting last year. And that was it. We were supposed to have quarterly meetings, but they don't follow their bylaws. So. I told them that, you know, it's very harsh to live in Hawaii now. The rate of taxes that they put on us is like taxation with no solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you see members? Do you see what shirt I'm wearing? I'm wearing a Go For Broke shirt. My dad was in a 442. This generation was very good. You know, they were the greatest, I think, one of the greatest generation. They went to war, proved their loyalty to the United States, came back, had a family, wanted better for their family, the future generations after that. I don't understand what the generation is doing now, our generation, but it's not working. I don't want to leave Hawaii. I don't want to move because it's so hard to live here with the taxation. So
mm-hmm.
I told them I'm too broke to go for broke anymore. There was a big chuckle.
Yeah. And then...
I said, you know, I hope you folks can go for broke, move for and get the job, be fair with the rate. So the commissioner of the Cheryl Soon, she said, Mr. Sakamoto, thank you for your devotion to your advocacy group and your testimony and whatnot. And she said, basically, oh, before I say anything else, somebody testified, they called the mayor's office for my group, asked for information about the rape commission a week before. They didn't know what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the meeting? What time? Location? They said, well, we don't know. We don't know what you're talking about. How can the... So Sherlson said that that's going to change too. She's going to make sure the word gets out. It's very hard to get their information on their website. You have to click, click, click.
Yeah, that's what Miyaga said. Well, we're going to make sure we fix it. What do you mean? You know, and all of these people who are handpicked by Caldwell or Ige.
Yeah.
And all of the, they get their support from, you know, hey, get a call from this congressperson, this put him in the office there, right?
Yeah.
And I, based on what I experienced yesterday and witnessed yesterday and read and see, and I don't believe that we got a good footing on fixing the problem.
No.
Because it's the same deflecting pile on Donald Trump and calling him out, and yet they can't even give us a straight answer.
Right.
I believe if Miyaga said he's the one responsible, then he should have told us with clarity,
right,
that specifically what happened. It's not losing a trade secret. It's not doing anything, right? But you didn't do that, right? They're going to do an investigation. And when someone in the state or the city tell me they're doing an investigation, it's like basically they're saying, go screw yourself. You don't have any right to know anything, and we're not going to tell you anything. That's basically what they're saying. And it's more respectable, though, politically, to say, we're going to investigate.
Right.
Right. What's there to investigate? People scrambling out of hotels, into hotels, down sewer. People going down manholes.
Right. Unbelievable. That's uncalled for.
Yeah.
And no information what you're supposed to do. Well, stay in your home and go on the floor and, you know, kiss the floor goodbye.
Yeah, well, you know, and I look at the silence on this, and a lot of people are talking. I expected the phone to just be blowing off the hook today. But no, because we're so pacified. And I guess what more is there left to do when you get cornered? Like, well, it's over, baby.
Uh-huh.
You know, see ya. It's over. All the things you've done in life and good things, and it's in an instant, it just dissipates.
Remember the Cuban crisis and
mm-hmm.
go to school and go on to your desk?
Tuck, duck, and roll, right? Well, you know, there's a lot to be said, you know, and Colina had a massive sewer spill a while back. And you know what they said was wrong with that? Person turned the wrong valve,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But then when they found out the wrong valve, what they were doing was sucking out of where it was leaking, the hole was, and then taking it back uphill and dumping it back in the pipe, and then it was flowing back out, and they couldn't figure out why was it keep going, but the meters weren't showing any loss. Again, yeah. We're going to investigate
it. Talked about Conway Bay, there's a stream where it had some white liquid things going in the stream, and those guys came down, and he looked at it and said, well, we don't know what it is, but...
Yeah.
It's going to go in the ocean anyway.
Yeah, it's going to go in the ocean anyway. And so everything about this, and I hate to sound or come off as a radical or irrational person, but I'm just telling you, my hand's on the pulse, and I'm telling you, everything is treated the same. I'm not surprised that yesterday's incident occurred. I think there will be more, whether it's food poisoning or salmonella or hepatitis. It's always the guarantee that we got a program, and then all of a sudden, wait, how did that happen? How many? Oh, we'll assure you, we're on top of this, and it's not increasing. 2 weeks from now, oh, there's an increase in numbers. And then, you know, well, we were investigating it still. We couldn't say conclusively. Hepatitis is hepatitis.
Right.
And if a person says, I went to that facility and ate there, and then 20 out of whatever... It's time to wrap it up right then, right? Not tell us that you're investigating.
Yeah, and then one more thing. The Rate Commission will be meeting again because they couldn't finish the meeting on the 8th of this month. So they're going to meet on the 22nd of this month. Same place, Mission
mm-hmm.
Memorial, Red Brick Building Conference Room, from 1 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Good luck if I can find a ride going home at 4:30.
Yeah, so, but you were at home when it all, the warning or the whatever.
I was home. My brother got the alert. He lives with me. I didn't get anything on my phone. Some people got it, some didn't. His two sons came over. They were going to do some, you know, cleanup at the house. And he said, well, the missile's coming. Where are we going to go, you know?
Well, at least you're fortunate you had your family with you.
Yeah, I had some part of my family here, so, you know. It wasn't like I was alone.
And you found yourself looking at one another saying, I love you, brother. No, I love you more, right?
Said, I told my two nephews, put your head between your legs and said, kiss your life goodbye.
did anybody ask you, well, Uncle, can I have the car? You know, I mean, I'm making a joke of it because this is sad. And you know, one of the other things in observation, people on the mainland, right, they're saying, oh, I feel sorry for you guys. Well, is it specific that when he launches a missile that it's going to hit Hawaii or destined for Hawaii? It may be destined for New York.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all America should be concerned and alarmed.
Yeah.
Not, you know, I mean, okay, well, it's said the mistake occurred here. Or maybe it was part of an actual drill including the military. We don't know. You see? We don't know that. But there was a lot of busy traffic coming here that caused me concern and say that something's up. And then just ironically, something would happen like this. So I don't believe that Hanabusa is in her right mind to see what she said. Even, you know, like she's offended. Well, didn't she have some concern before this incident?
Right.
And what did she have? And what did she find out? Did she ever go through and ask to look at that system? Tulsi Gabbard, same thing. Did she go and ask to look at this fail-proof, flawless system? Brian Schatz. No, what had happened is there was money out there, and they saw it, and they got it, and then bought trinkets. And sirens were going off. Some people say, well, some went off at Pearl Harbor. Well, look at that. The whole situation begs many questions. How is it that you report that missiles are on their way, a missile is on its way, and then in turn you don't sound the sirens? You see, and then the governor, I heard him say, well, that... Miyagi, I think one of the three of them said, well, the person pushed the button and didn't recognize it till later that he had pushed the button. And then it was for some while. What does that tell you?
The guy that pushed the button had an alert come on his phone, and he's like, what car did
and, that? Yeah, he got an alert on his phone that then, what? You know, WTF, I guess.
And Carol, they want to put more money into the system. But, wait till they investigate.
And all you got to do is just stand around and watch. You'll know if they got a lot of money. All those guys that work there are going to be driving Lexus and wearing penny loafers and brand new Aloha shirts. That's what happens. That's why we're in this predicament with the EMS. We get money, we don't spend it. HUD gives money, we don't use it. You know, you follow?
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show. All right, call back if you like.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Many of you, I got a couple of texts asking you didn't know that I was back on air. I'll be back for a while and then we'll go from there. We'll do some changes and what have you, and try to put things together in the studio here. So anyway, it's always good being here with you and talking with you. So feel free, 808-888-5204 is the number. Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Yes, good morning. I just want to call. I've lived here since 1948, but there was a bad storm. I think it was in the 60s over on Hawaii. We were, and my family, they've come here on their vacation, and there was the air raid warning by mistake. It was just a few seconds, and they just, nobody made, you know, too much blaming people.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, you know, big mistake, and there was no air raid warning.
Right.
I just wanted to say that was, I don't remember the exact 60s, that's long ago, but, that was a very eerie sound to me.
Oh, yeah, and it's frightening. You don't even have to hear the sound, and just someone to say that, or just the thought that one might come one day that you, is enough to cause you fear and live in fear.
Even a bad storm, you know, can be bad. We you know, where do we go? What do we do?
Right.
But a bomb coming over, I can see they better make sure that they're punching the wrong, the right button.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I Tulsi Gabbard did say, which I agree with, we should be talking about peace, and you know, but again, a little late for this when we were having accidents or mistakes or whatever they were, you know, or a drill gone bad. I don't know, but I'm speaking after the fact to say that if this is in place and we're spending tax dollars and they're spending lots of time building the system and then it fails,
give us our money back. You know, it has to be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just say, oh, anymore, it was a mistake, it's too serious. I think everybody, now that we've had them, they are wondering, where do we go?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I thank you for, really, your program is wonderful. I just want to take this opportunity to tell you that.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And I'll hang up and let next call. But thank you, that air raid thing was given once before. I had heard that it had never been, yes. It was, but it didn't last long, of course, because they realized it wasn't an area. It was just telling us there was a bad storm. So I was leaving my family. I'd already made reservations to go to Kauai. So I came down with my suitcase, and people were down in the driveway, and I said, I'm leaving. I'm as bad as some others. And they didn't know you because they had heard about the thing, too.
Yeah.
So I'll hang up. And bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Aloha. Happy New Year's. I'm hoping that my comments is stimulating and to say to you, again, if you're fair to me and fair to what I've said, I've always argued is you can vote for who you want to, but I'm saying be smart. There's nothing like being taken for a ride by shysters. Nothing like that. It's the nastiest, sleaziest feeling. And I think that's what I'm trying to say to all of you that are out there. We got too many shysters from top to bottom. We have no mechanism of keeping them accountable. They can make us a promise today. They can sell us a talking horse tomorrow and then tell you to come back. They'll have more for you. And we tend to just accept it without challenge. And I'm saying maybe this is the demarcation point. This is the line in the sand to say something of this nature, as extreme as it is and the consequences, you have a right to expect a little more. You know, you probably think that, well, you know, you've been preaching about dirty water and sewage and guys driving their trucks home and riding their girlfriends, some, you know, pilikia, little minor stuff, manini or small. But this is risen to the top. I don't think you can get any worse than this to have failure to just present itself in such a fashion. I don't think so. So how much are you willing to tolerate? Is there any more to tolerate? Other than maybe people pulling up at your house and bombing and or shooting you or what have you, and you don't get any investigations or whatever. What is there? And they're only able to do it because you and I, come election time, we put our names in a little block, and we make sure we keep it clear and dark enough to show that we made that decision. It's a farce. Because whoever's in, like the gentleman said about the political system, and I'm so glad that he mentioned that, because we've talked about it way back, where the politicians or the various parties, and they've all agreed to it because they all benefit. I donate money to the Carol Cox Fund for Carol Cox for Rat Catcher. And Carol Cox decide he's going to go out and catch a rat, and the rat kills him. And then what happened to all that money you donated to Carol Cox for a rat catcher? Well, I have a foundation, and then I can then take your money that you gave me because you knew that I was going to be an expert rat catcher and go and rid the community of all the rats. So you trusted me, and then I expired, and the money still sits there. So the people surrounding me on my team takes that money and then gives it to someone else that has nothing to do with rat catchers, not following your wishes, not doing anything with the money, but giving it to a party that is anti-gay, anti-race, anti-equality, anti-whatever. And that can happen. Or they have a member who wants to come into the party and run for office, but he's just not too colorful and not too dynamic or anything. So he's not really that, and he don't have any money. He's a ridiculously inadequate and inept in fundraising. He didn't have the appeal. So you take money from my rat catchers campaign or committee that you gave me, and then I give it to that guy who has no luster, but he's willing to do what the party wants to do. He's just a party man. So that's how it works. So when he said that Mark Takei's money was given to, yes, that's the way the game's played on both sides. Do you have to be a victim of that? Well, I guess I don't believe in discussing the various conspiracies that exist and the Bilderbergs and all of that. I don't engage in that. And all I can say is that I look at the immediate surroundings of me. What conspiracy is being conducted or working itself out that affects me that I can put hands on? And this is one of those things. Colleen Hanabusa, let's not forget, she is running for governor. What a perfect time to sit there with this colorful dress and wave her hands and become demonstrative as to what she's saying, and it should never have happened, a button and something of that nature. Well, Colleen, tell us, how many visits did you have your staff to go and make sure, because, you know, a missile coming to Hawaii is a serious thing, man. It's not just your everyday occurrence. What did you do, Colleen, as Congresswoman? What did you do in your newsletter or your communications or your email to your constituents that are the people of Hawaii that, okay, this guy might send a missile here, but here's what is in place now, and here's addresses of the secure zones, here's air for the shelters, and if you run out of water, here's where water comes from and all that. You know, tell us, Colleen, tell us the before activities, how you envisioned everything, or did you just ignore it, or was it was just another ploy to get more money and spend more money, because they realized that if a nuclear weapon was used, there isn't much you can do. And so now, politically, there's Tulsi and there's shots, and they're very eloquent, you know. And I would say, why don't we all just hold off, guys, and have a complete investigation done, and then consider. Just remember now, over in Kailua, over in that area, Kaneohe Kailua side, they dug a big tunnel, you know. And I think, Donald Trump referred to it's said that he referred to the African nations as the S-hole. Well, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, and I've talked about this on the show, we just dug a multi-million, untold millions, and continue to dig an actual S-hole to put our S in. So we put, now listen to me now, and don't call and curse me, but you can call and say what you want to. I invite you to 808-888-5204. But we actually, the city, under the city's direction, we actually have one of the world's largest S-holes on the planet. And it's been dug as I speak to you. Yes, yes. So that we could dump our S into it, because our facilities can't manage even though we are under a consent decree for polluting and what have you, we're actually, remember that they bought trucks? Well, back up. They put tanks up at certain facilities so they could dewater our S and then have it trucked over. And then people said, whoa, that's not good, man. That no. That's not healthy. It's not environmentally safe. It's just not good. Don't be trucking your S over the highways, spilling on the roads and whatever. So at Wahiwa, they built this big tank, and then they built these bought trucks to haul it back to the landfill and to the treatment plant out at Sand Island. A flop. So then, you know, we had major floods and major overflows. Got to do something. So they actually built this S-hole. So I wonder if Donald Trump is familiar with him, because he might be mistaken or misquoted when he say, you know, Hawaii built a S-hole for its S, but didn't build a hole or dig a, didn't even dig a cup full of dirt out to protect the people, to give them shelter from nuclear weaponry. If you think I'm lying, go out to Kailua, the Kailua wastewater, and you'll see a sign that says the deep tunnel and all of that. It's back of the Bayview Golf Course, all in that area there, a big tunnel, folks. So I would I be wrong for saying to you and drawing conclusion for you that they give more concern, our government is more concerned with S than they are with you and me? So, isn't that funny? And then what do we get for our protection? Well, we're protecting the S. Yeah, we've dug this monstrous hole and tunnel, and we can put it in there and it won't be radiated. But for the humans, the citizens, the visitors, they leave you the manhole. Isn't that cool? Nothing like having government that care for you. But it would be okay if you were to say, our government don't give a S for us. And still yet, people are bobbing and diving and swimming and floating and frolicking down at Waikiki with Clostridium and all the other bacteria associated with fecal matter. Right now in Waikiki, 8 times higher. But remember, they don't really know where it's coming from. But remember on this show I told you about the showers that were putting all of this carcinogens and all that, all the bacteria that I witnessed people washing babies' hineys off with fecal matter and diapers, just throwing them down in the water. Remember I told you that? And people, you understand? And they said, oh, it's not a problem. It's not going to the ocean. And every single one of them runs to the ocean because the state refused to take any action. So it's no surprise for me when the missile come. Well, this is me thinking, well, why care? Because even though I'm saying that our government failed us once again and we should have negotiated these things, but what the heck? There's nobody to witness. If it did hit, the missile did hit, there wouldn't be anybody to witness anything we've done or said. It's over. So I encourage you to, when we start talking about taking someone out, not just Mr. Trump and not just, but when our leaders start talking about the big muscle, just remember there's consequences. And I hearken back to Vietnam. I'm a Vietnam era vet, and I was eager to go fight because, you know, you fight for your country. And then you learn that the fear and the terrorist mindset, and not saying the Koreans' mindset is terrorist, just to say that we need to start thinking about more peaceful approaches to things and telling people that we need to be fair. You know, if we have weapons and we've demonstrated that, as Tulsi Gabbard said, they toppled, got Gaddafi to give his up, and then they toppled Gaddafi. No, they killed him. And they don't topple. And then what does that say to others who got their desires to get their hands on weaponry to cause us harm? So we need to, it's okay to be the big bully at the bus stop, but, you know, just know that the next bus stop may be a bigger bully. And we shouldn't be bullying people anyway. We should just, if there is a threat to us or to our allies or to world peace, then we all should join hands and forces and take care of it if they are unwilling. But it has to be done righteously. It has to be done, and I don't know how we can rely on that. Who's to decide what's righteous? I mean, you know. And we were talking about Mr. Trump, and this is branching off to some degree. And I find it, speaking him specifically now, about the S-hole, the African nations, or the S-hole. Either Mr. Trump is really evil, or completely ignorant to history. Because I say that because if he had any inclination to, or any background or the historical background on African nations, he would never allow himself to say that. Not because of race or anything, but because of the worldliness of it. And that is, Africa has been broken up by many white regimes. The French have their hands in certain parts of Africa. Would that be the cause that Mr. Trump, he looks at it now and sees it as a S-hole? Or the Dutch? Would he go there and look at that section where the Dutch control? Belgium, will he say that he attribute his comments and description because of their involvement or the apartheid treatment and practices that existed in South Africa? You see, it may sound okay for his base or whatever it is that he's appealing to, but one must always remember, when people are offended, they may not be offended by what you said. They may be offended that you're just ignoring history, and then you're just drawing your own conclusion to say what, to get people to rally around your point. But the reality is, if in fact African nations are the S-hole, then there's many of countries, even the lily white countries that he invited of, defer to or believe they should be, they too were involved in raping. And then would it be an S-hole, or do we overlook the fact that right here, the very country that he's the president of, these United States of America, would he be referring to Africa as a S-hole? Because from the shores of Africa came many a slave, millions of blacks, citizens of Africa, came here in the bellies of ships with chains around their necks and feet, dying, throwing up on one another, sick, illness. Would he be, and I know, I just heard, I could hear somebody going, yeah, but, you know, Africans were selling Africans too. Well, that's good. We're going to put them out of business too. Just give us a little time. But so when Mr. Trump is there making those comments, we have to wonder, I have always been eager to see two healthy, more than two healthy parties vying for control of the leadership in America, because the variety makes better. There's always competition. But when Dick Durbin comes out and say that he heard these things said, and the Republicans say, oh, they're saying, no, it didn't say, that in itself should be cause to defrock or punish Durbin for, or challenge him publicly and come out and say, hey, this is the highest level of government we're involved in here. This is no joke. How dare you go out and lie on the president that he did these, said these things? But I guess ownership, we won't take ownership for the issues with the Korean. We won't take ownership with what's going on in the Middle East. We won't take ownership of anything, because we are, if you look at the Last Supper, you'll see an American representative, the picture of the, you'll see an American representative there, because we do no wrong. Now, I know that's not a misstatement, I'm just being a smartass, but that's the impression we get. That's how we present ourselves. And so it's no surprise, no shock, that any given day now, we'll find people, free people of these United States, running to hide in a manhole, running to a building and being turned away, and driving down the streets at 100 miles an hour to get to where they don't know where the bomb's going to hit. They don't know, but it shows you how irrational people are when it comes to fear. So what I would say is that starting today, start, if you want to avoid these experiences, become a more responsible voter. This is a democracy, not a hypocrisy. And that's what we're hypocritical. Our leaders go off to Washington and they come back, and I got to tell you, I was shocked this morning. Like, I was, whoa. Tulsi Gabbard apparently went out and bought her a whole new wardrobe and got a whole new makeup. Eyelids all painted up there and got that flash going on and a blue dress. I was thinking, where's that orange at? Well, blue is a new orange now for Tulsi. And, you know, hey, show up with some coveralls on. Show up with some smut on your forehead after you've been crawling out of this manhole like the rest of the nervous people. But no, I'm going to have a chance to be in the limelight. I don't give a damn if it is pain and suffrage that was brought in a nervous nation or a nervous state. I am going to be there front and center stage, and I'm going to be on national television. People are going to sing my praise, and I have this beautiful blue dress on, and I'm just so well cared, and I'm going to be president one day. Hadn't fixed the problem. You know, that's why when I grew up, I always admired Fannie Lou Hamer, Miss Fannie Lou Hamer. She was a real people fighter. She cared about the people. She had her hairdo, her hairstyle, but let me tell you something. She didn't run around and try to dress up it didn't have, you look at pictures of her, she was natural. Because the issues affecting people are presented in a natural fashion, but they're not to be used. It wasn't to go and paint yourself up, because you're going to be on CNN. They're talking about Hawaii now. Did you see me? And you were there at home going to go, oh, look at Tulsi. She looks so good. Yeah, but you were running down a damn manhole just hours earlier. Mm-hmm. And she's telling you now, well, we're going to ask some questions about shelters, and we need to get our leaders. She's no longer a leader because she say we got to get our leaders to take care of this and make, you know, safe zones and shelters. We need to address these things. Well, wait. When did you discover this? Because there's been talk and threats of nuclear strikes against us for some while here in Hawaii. And when a person that is part of the leadership team extracts himself and turns around and speaks of that leadership team, I become nervous and mindful that this person is looking out for themselves and not me. So you can vote for her and you can sing her praises, but remember, you were driving down the freeway at 100 miles an hour not knowing where the hell you were going, which was dumb. You're on an island. And the weaponry, I mean, they say the a missile, how do you know it wasn't two or three or four? So it would be just wise of you to turn around and start asking people, okay, you're having this meeting, you're going to have a public presentation to us, and you want us to vote for you. Tell us how you're going to fix these things. Which specifics? Don't tell us what's broken. Tell us if you're going to fix the sewer lines and bring up the infrastructure, tell us specifics. If you're going to bring a safety system here, a warning system, tell us the specifics. Show us that it's flawless and what we are supposed to do. Because I got to tell you, even though the system was broken, in reality, it doesn't matter. I think we're arguing over spilled milk because, in reality, even if we had the perfect warning system, you still your goose get cooked. So I guess maybe it was just to spend millions or hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to be able to let you know you're about to get cooked. Because nothing was accompanying that, no shelters. And remember Fukushima came out, and I don't know nuclear weaponry, and I don't know radiation, but I'm curious, and maybe some of you would know, 808-888-5204. But when Fukushima occurred, the explosion and what have you, there was this rush for iodine and the craving. You couldn't even find it online. It was so in such a demand because Fukushima, the cloud was going to drift here, and that's still a concern, and the eddying water floating and drifting and all of that. But I didn't hear anything about radiation, illnesses, or nothing in this event. Not a thing. And then the Hawaii Tourist Authority or whoever it was is speaking on behalf of the, with speaking, mentioning concerns, expressing concerns of how it may impact its industry. Well, you need to take that up with David Ige and Mr. Hara and Mr. Miyagi, because they stood there and told you they were just as dumb as you are. You and I are as ignorant as they could be. We don't know anything about this situation. And they concurred that they don't know why it happened. But then they pushed the button. But then the person who pushed the button didn't realize he had pushed the wrong button. And so then he gets a message from himself. And that message tells him that, boom, oh, my God, what did I do? Or more than likely, he's going to pass a buck or she, who, whatever it is. It could be five or six of them. Who knows? But again, it leaves us vulnerable. We're exposed. It tells us now, live good now, treat everybody nice, because at any moment now, any given time, the way things are allowed. So if you see something glowing in the sky coming toward your direction, just say that I've tried to be good to everybody that I interacted with, and I tried to do good things while I was here, and then just listen for the boom. Or you might feel the heat first. Who knows? But you won't have a shelter to go to. Stay inside. For what? Does that mean they're going to drive to you and tell you that they got water, they got food for you that's not been contaminated? See, all of these things need to be answered. You notice none of that was ever publicly expressed, and we still don't know where we stand. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Carol Cox, if I saw a missile coming in, you know what first thing I do? I'd grab a roll of toilet paper and start running. Yeah, that's my answer.
Make sure it's Sherman. Okay. No, folks, I yesterday when I sat there and I saw that and I thought, wow, you know, it's what do you do? What do you do? And then you think, boy, I wish I could have been more aggressive in trying to tell people we need good government. Because, and I say government because as individuals, we couldn't piece it together possibly. That's why we have government. But we need good government. We need honest people. We don't need partisans. We don't need any of this. And I spoke to a guy yesterday out at the beach. And he said that he was there, and he had told us there's this older man that was out there. And he said, did you hear about the missile? He said, man, I was driving down the road, and there were people doing 100 miles an hour or more. And I didn't. He said, did you hear about the missile threat? No, I didn't, you know. But, oh, that's never going to happen. That, you know. So he drove off. And he come back and said, oh, my God, I can't get in touch with my wife. I can't get in touch. So everybody was scrambling. So here's what you do. You shouldn't. Today was a calling and in the spirit of being cohesive and having something to fall back on, if nothing else, to know, not have your loved ones that do survive. Come up with a plan. If it happens and you survive and I don't, make those plans. It's a reality, folks. And put it down. We don't know. I've never known anybody to be in a war zone to be impacted. But make sure you put your records somewhere. I mean, they may get burned up, or the scorched earth, the results of a bomb going off. But do your own planning at least. Put a little food, water. Take it for serious. Don't take it for granted. I mean, remember now, these are the experts that made this big flub. And if they can flub this way, so trust your own instincts, your survival ability. Don't go to the extreme and become paranoid, but have precautions. If they suggest you stay inside, well, if you're going to stay inside, get the proper amount of food and water that will sustain you, your pets, and your family. And don't be afraid to say to the neighbor, you know, the last time, just yesterday, things were looking bleak. So I found myself not adequately prepared. And you tell your neighbor. So let's have a neighborhood plan, you know. But we don't get that kind of coaching. you see, because we, our mayor and our governor, is hell-bent on managing and hurting the homeless people. Then the amount of money that they've spent on harassing and hurting and violating the rights of the homeless, all of this could have been, these monies could have been spent on public education. Because what is more serious and more bigger threat? The homeless population being amongst us, or a nuclear bomb being shot at us? So, again, the parallels are, you got a S-hole in Kailua, and they don't give a S by you or me. And then they've spent millions, and I mean untold number of millions. And they've spent so much money that they forgot they had money at HUD's, or knew they had money, but they didn't want to spend it on anything viable. They just, it's such a thrill to be chasing the homeless, so you forget that you got $5 million in HUD. And by the way, you remember 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I uncovered the fact that they hadn't asked for other millions, and they lost that. And I saw the guy, Chandler is his name, I think, and he's the head of HUD. He comes out and talks. But originally, when I approached him on the earlier one where the city failed to use the money, he said it was okay because they were using some of the money that was intended for HUD to use it to build a firehouse at Haula, and that it would be the discretion of the city. So now all of a sudden he changes his tune, and that they're wrong. But all of that, I raise that issue and share with you that because it speaks and provides evidence that you and I need to start voting our interests, not their interests. We need new people in government. I don't believe, and I don't fear, that if we put new blood in government, young people or older people who care, forget about this, well, you've never been a legislator. I have. My opponent here has no experience. Maybe that's a blessing in this state. That's golden. We need to vote for people that don't have the experience that these yahoos have. We need that. Because look, time and time and time again. So when you and I have to resort to running out of and running down manholes, and you know what manholes hold, right? Depend. You better pick the right one, because there's one sanitary and then a storm drain, right? And so I don't know if the bomb, how it will affect the tidal area, but if you're down at Waikiki and you run down the manhole, that may be your tomb. But then I guess it's better to be drowned than to be roasted. I don't know. But you and I need to start thinking, and I, as petty as this sound or distasteful as I may present myself, I'm suggesting that the Hanabusas, the Iges, the Miyagis, I mean, hey, move over, guys. You've shown us you don't know what to do. You've shown us the people that you put in place are inept. You've shown us all of this. So be respectful and just move over, and you and I can put in. There are retired citizens in this state that have the ability of managing, and they're not conflicted and they're not partisan, and they've proven and they've retired here and have been successful. Let's start looking, drawing from that. Maybe we can get straight answers, because they've already made their fortune. They've retired. The legislature only goes temporary anyway for a couple of months. in session, January to May or something. So let's start looking at those resources, thinking about people. What's wrong with having younger people with mindset that they, yes, they're aggressive and some say they're irrational, but ain't nothing like having a liar to wake up every morning and trying to politicize everything. Enough already. So I would say to you, if you were to ask me or pay me for my a penny for my thoughts, and I'll put my 2 cent worth in, and I'd be cheating myself of a penny always. Isn't that amazing? So this is about politics. If you think I'm lying, listen to CNN and listen at the liberals and how they're this is time to really kick Donald Trump down. No. Train your sight. CNN and all the MSNBC and NBC, this isn't about Donald Trump, based on what I see. This is about government revealing itself, a government that is flawed with ineptness, ineptitude, and all of those things, corruption and all. This isn't about Donald Trump. Donald Trump, as I said earlier, if he doesn't bother to answer you, then he's being smart, because how can you have any rational comment when people are standing there that is responsible for it at the first level go, well, I don't know, it's unacceptable. We're going to investigate. We'll get to the bottom of this. And you want the President of the United States to comment on that? Come on, give him a break. Let's be real Americans and be honest and not be political. And you know, you've heard my comments about Donald Trump and what I think and what I fear about him. But put some of the onus on you and on David Ige and on Colleen Hanabusa and on Tulsi Gabbard and on Brian Schatz and on Mazie Hirono. They're the ones that all of a sudden feel that it's, hey, I'm going to call CNN and I'm going to do an interview. I feel more violated now, because they never bothered to really address us. Well, they're going to have a, on Friday, they're going to have a hearing, you know, and Takai is going to, Psyche is going to, one of the guys is going to have a hearing and get to the bottom of it. Hey, you're taken from the same bowl of Skittles, man, the same bowl of M&Ms. He's going to have a hearing, and what's he going to do with it after the fact? Now, we need an independent FCC investigation. And then, in closing, why do we rely on, and as the, one of the callers mentioned, why do we rely on the city and county defense system? If the military, we know the elevation of this matter and the seriousness of it, and it's an intense one, and it begs attention at every second. And I assume we have our military in place and our intelligence, and we know, we'll know when a rocket is launched. If a rocket is launched, they've been telling us, well, this, they shot a practice missile, so they know that it was a practice missile. So they're fully informed, apparently. So why don't we have a system? Because we shouldn't assume that if the missile goes off, it's destined for Hawaii. It could be destined for anyone, anywhere. So why not just rely on the military and the intelligence community and all those to warn us? And there won't be any tests, because if a missile is launched, or more than one is launched, they seem to know the trajectory and they know where it was, if it was practiced or not, or if it enters space and has to come back, they should tell us. And we should not rely on Miyagi's and the Ige's and the unknown person who pushed the button twice. And in fact, they should have brought that person out and, again, let that person tell us what happened. What's the secret? What's the problem? That, right? So I believe that if our intelligence community or our observers there witness, and in South Korea there's technology to tell us when one is launched, two is launched, three, whatever. That they're the immediate, that buys us more time. But if someone tells us, the state representatives aren't there at the scene or near the area, and we don't have the capacity to monitor if there was a missile shot from state level, I don't think. And so let the military or those that are involved in that tell us. Don't tell a second party who then tells us. That's, time is of importance. So that's 3, 4, 5, 10 minutes. And so if it takes them 10 minutes and you supposedly it hits you in 20 minutes, so you got you they get it here in the state, and you know how slow the state works, right? You got to find them on the golf course or find them at that other job, or they'll be traveling off on some junket. So you just never know. So it's so many things have presented themselves here to fix it. And those of you that are listening on the mainland or other places in Italy, got listeners there in Italy and France and whatever, again, always thanks, and thanks for the emails and all, but just know that you should be concerned and make preparations too. It's a reality now. It's a friend of mine sent me a Facebook message. I wished him Happy New Year's, and he went wrote me back and says, Happy Nuclear Year. So prepare. Don't be afraid. I'm more frightened of my local government here than anything. Because when I go to the restaurants, I'm taking my life in my hand and taking my chances, because David Egate don't provide enough money, manpower, budgeting to hire inspectors in the restaurants to inspect those, the food services. You go to the health department, if there's in raw fish or sashimi or what have you, or imported fish and it has hepatitis A, you're likely to catch it before they even tell you that the business was there involved. There's always the politics. So I see it as this recent incident is nothing more than an addition to the useless approach and the ineffective and unprofessional and inaccurate practices of government. You're likely to die from eating contaminated, imported fish and food and prepared improperly. And they assured us that the mumps was in control. And now they're acknowledging, oh, it's more than that. Remember, as in comparison, nothing comes to the level of the missile false alarm. But remember, we had a longline fishing boat that floundered for 2 months, leaking oil. And remember now, the state initial response, and this was, I'll think of his name in a minute, he's running for Ng. He, Kanala Ng, and he said, it's something to do with human trafficking. Well, as I told you before, that boat presented some very interesting questions, triggered a number of them. Where was the Coast Guard in monitoring? This is supposed to be, we're always on the threat and on the major watchful concerns. Where was the Coast Guard, and how did this boat drift into the waters of Hawaii and go into Waikiki when we have, what, it could have been a terrorist. Could have been anything. Kanaeling, I think is his name, he talked about human trafficking and what have you. Half cocked and half informed, but it made for good political advancement because he's running for Congress, you see. So if it's a political game, they're on it. But if it's a game to protect you and me, and so leaving us to make the decision on their actions and their decisions and performance, they should leave that to us and do the work that we elected them to do. And then when they fail to do that, you should vote them out. Don't elect them. So we'll be back next week. And this is the Carol Cox Show, and I appreciate you listening, and we'll be back. Send emails if you want to, carol@carolcox.com, and we'll be building a bigger, better show here in the studios. Take care.
Well, sing this song, y'all. Oh, singing it for my baby. She's the only one can bring me joy. That's why I sing these happy songs. They go dum dum dilly dum dum, dum dum dilly dum dum, dum dum dilly dum dum. Come on. Happy song on a cold, rainy, windy night. She shed all my gold, she cut off the light. She hold me and squeeze me tight. She tells me big old everything's alright. And I go dum dum dilly dee dum dum. Bet again dum dum. Dum dum, do it again. Dum dum, dilly dee dum dum. Come on now, those happy songs. My job, I come back in. You wanna see my baby's face? She just grin, grin, grin. I go dum dum dilly dum dum, hit again. Dum dum dilly dum, sing a happy song, lovely lovely song, sweet soul song.
So here's a text from sent by Tina Kazan. The PGA Sony Open, more fallout after the Saturday whistle alert. We quote, we wanted to you to be aware that due to a labor dispute between the Golf Channel and its live tournament technicians union, today's broadcast of the Sony Open in Hawaii Diamond Resorts Invitational and the Bahamas Great Exuma Classic will be significantly impacted. End quote. The PGA said in a statement, we are working closely with our partners at the golf course, Golf Channel, to provide as much of the television coverage as possible in the interim. So if you're having problems, that's why. See, it's having an impact on many things. So we'll talk to you later. Thank you. Aloha.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.